Saint Euthemius was there and became a mentor to two young monks who came to him. Saint Theodosius and Saint Saba were Cappadocians. And they come from the same area of your map, but a little bit to the left. And he was born in 423 of Christian parents in Mogarissus, a village in Cappadocia near the infamous pagan center of Cremona. Now, you can't assume that since the Emperor Constantine being baptized and openly being a Christian emperor, his mother instrumental in uncovering holy sites and building churches especially, that there is no pagan presence in the world, and we can't assume that the pagans did not have their pressure on people. In particular, this infamous pagan center of Cremona had the other dubious distinction of being an officially established polis, or city. Now, a polis had its privileges and responsibilities. It had to have its own government, etc. But a polis, to be a polis, was established as a sacred precinct to a god. And the god Ma, or Enyo, or Sibyl, as well as the presence of the devotees of Mithras, were in this little village. Now, this little village is now no more than a gas station that you would find on the Arizona or Nevada-California border outside of Barstow. It was, you know, just there. It's just there beside a little river. But then, because of the presence of the 12th Legion, they were accommodating those Roman soldiers who were pagans from other places in the world. And we find several of these cities that became cult centers because of a Roman army presence. In the confines of a legion's camp, the only place that they considered sacred was where they put their weaponry away for the winter. They didn't have other cult edifices, although there was one found at Kapar Odnai in Megiddo, a church. It was just a little house church with an altar, but it's been called the oldest church ever found. And so it's the locals and the villages around that provided the cult centers to service these pagans. It was a polis. It had this cult presence. And you have a Christian family who has a little boy named Theodosius. There was some choices that they had. Parents often have a decision to make. Where are my kids going to go to school? And some people structure their lives around where the kids are going to go to school. And here in Cremona, called Cremona the Golden, because of this cult presence, the emperor wanted an educated army. So if you want to be the most you can be, join the army and we'll train you. It's still a recruitment issue, isn't it? Learn a trade, be everything you can be, join the army. Or they could go to the gymnasium, the cult center and built place where they educate you in health, exercise, all kinds of things. They had classes, much like a local community college. But it was controlled tightly by the priests of the cults. In fact, the priests of the cults, the high priests of these cults, would be the military advisor and director and control things very tightly. And you know how they probably, we know in the lives of the martyrs, what little excuse they had to string you up or pull you through town at the end of a rope. The other alternative was in the church. And so Saint Theodosius the Great, I'm sorry, I said Saint Euthemius the Great, it was Saint Theodosius called the Great, who became a reader at a very young age, reading the Psalms, reading the prayers, reading the scriptures, and in particular, he was noted for knowing the scriptures. He arrived in Jerusalem in 451 and spent 20 years at the monastery of Kathisma, which is between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. He became responsible for the Cenobitic monks in the Judean desert in 479 and he founded a monastery named after him. And he was known as the Cenobiarch, or that the one who supervised and assisted and facilitated the business of all the Cenobitic monasteries. He was a close companion of Saint Salvas, and he reposed in 529 at his monastery. And let's take a look. He was born here in this village of Sar, and you can see in the bend of this river that these are, it's just a small hamlet, but back up in the hills is this cult center that I was telling you about, and in particular a theater. And then this temple still stands, a lot of it being robbed as building material for the next centuries. And this brings us to, why do you go to the desert or a lonely place? Why do you seek silence? It's because back at home, Saint Saba suffered the same pressure. The world wants to change your mind, and in the process, they'll eat your lunch in your face. And all that we are bombarded with keeps us off balance to where we can't hear the Lord. And in rehab, Dr. Court, not drug rehab, it was cardiac rehab. he said, as he explained, he wanted us to find a quiet place twice a day for 20 minutes. He says, because all of those things that intrude into your thinking, if you catalog them, those are precisely the things that are driving you. And you have to get rid of them, because they'll drive you to death. In any case, you have to have some relief from the noise, the clamor, the pressures of everybody else who has what they think the perfect plan for you. And to be with God, to be alone with the Lord, resuming the conversation that we lost in paradise. And wouldn't that be nice about this time every day, to just know that the Lord was going to come down and talk to you? I think that's our heart's true home, and we're on our way there, but the world is continually trying to convince us of their way. And as a result, we go to a desert place, and here's the monastery of Theodosius just off of the Bethlehem Jerusalem Road right here. At first, he lived in a natural cave, much like this. These rocks here are really shepherd walls where they'll bring their flock at night and then build a wall up and put some thorns on top. That's another thing, shepherding. He lived in a natural cave. And then he just felt he needed to move up closer to that road up above him, but he didn't know where, so he took a censer and put some coal in it, and he walked up and down through the desert with his censer, asking the Lord to light the coal where he wanted him to be. And so he took off down towards the Dead Sea, through the desert, all the way to the Dead Sea, and then came back all the way up, closer to the road, and the coal lit. And he then established this monastery up near the ridge in the Judean Hill country, in that fringe area. And this is the monastery of St. Theodosius. This is the church, and this is the cenotaph over his crypt down below. And down below are his relics. It is said that there would be hundreds that would come to his monastery every day, and no one ever left without their need being met, whether food, counsel, wisdom. In any case, he was a compassionate man, and built just this one, but there was a friend of his who was a maniac builder, and that was St. Sabas. He was born not far from where St. Theodosius was born in Cappadocia, but he had a totally different experience. This was the cathedral, or the see, of the renowned St. Basil. At 5 years of age, his father and his mother were taken to Egypt because he was a high-ranking military man. And he left Sabas with his brother, Hermias. And he was only 5 years of age. He went into sort of a familial foster care program. But unfortunately, Hermias' wife, his aunt, Sabas' aunt, was very ill-tempered. And he soon left for another uncle. He just left. Went to another uncle, and at the age of 8, he wanted to be a monastic. So he went to the abbot, leaving the second uncle, went to the abbot, and at 8 years of age, convinced him that he should be accepted as a monastic at the Flavian monastery in Caesarea. So they took him in because well, they just couldn't leave someone so young, you know, outside the gate and unprotected. They brought him in. They were impressed. The abbot was impressed with his desire for spiritual things and to be a monastic and a part of the community. And he was there for 10 years. He was made a reader. He knew the Psalms by heart. He knew the prayers. Less than 18 years of age, he was functioning in the church. And I'm thinking all this last week, are we doing the same for our kids? You know, they're really the saints of tomorrow. In any case, at 18, he goes to the abbot and he says, I want to go to the Holy Land. I want to go to be a monastic there. I want to learn from those like St. Euthemius, who he ultimately ended up with. And I want to know the land. Of course, that excites me as a geographer. But he went to Jerusalem. Oh, actually, the abbot wouldn't let him go to begin with. It may have been because of his gifts, and he was a little selfish, but it called for an angel to come to him in the night and tell him, don't impede him, let him go. So he went to Jerusalem, goes to the Joppa gate, where there was a monastery, and he stays with another Cappadocian monk who is there for some time. But then he wants to go down into the desert to the monastery of St. Euthemius. He founded a lot of monasteries. And as we see, he came into this same area that St. Euthemius was over. This is the Mahale Adama, and his was over here. He went into the desert after several years with St. Euthemius, and he established the great Laura of Marsaba. Then, for various reasons, we have several, more than two, I think it's three, monks that separated from him over a minor thing. It wasn't doctrine at all. They weren't Monophysites. One in particular was a disagreement on the allotment of, or the distribution of funds from Constantinople. And that was the issue. After he left, while he was gone on his Lenten retreat, he comes back and finds this monk gone. And so, much like Jesus following those who were going to Emmaus after the resurrection, St. Sabas was after him, reconciled with him, said, let me help you build this bigger. And so he sent materials and craftsmen and helped himself to make their place functional. And so we have this circle of monasteries that developed: Castellian, Spleon, the Cave, Jeremias, Heptastomos, Scholarius Zanus, the great Laura that he started with. Some schismatics, some Monophysites went down here from his after the Council of Chalcedon and started another lawyer, Laura, and then abandoned it shortly afterwards. It was dilapidated, so he took some monks there, refurbished it, built it, left some monks there, and it was another startup. And then Serianus down here near Hebron, and Masada down here, the abandoned Roman outpost, and one down here in Calamon. He had quite an enterprise going, a monastic enterprise. And taking a look...
What's the scale of
that? Jerusalem to here is about 15 miles. A little more to here. It's a day's walk from Jerusalem following the Roman road down through the Wadi Kilt to here, to where St. Gerasimus was. And so in the life of St. Mary, she left the Church of the Resurrection and walked the full day down to where she got to one of the churches down here by Jericho before she crossed the Jordan into the wilderness. This is from Jerusalem going down. Actually, Jerusalem is up here. And out of Jerusalem, on the east side of the old city, is the Kidron Valley. And you can follow it all the way down the Kidron Valley to Marsaba. And down through that gorge, as it deepens, you finally come to the monastery. Actually, two more slides and we'll be on the other side. This is coming from Jerusalem, and from one end of where the cells and the cliffs are down to the other end, it's about 3 football fields up and down. Now, have you ever wanted to be alone? Or longed to be alone? Even Marsaba had those moments. He wanted to be alone. And so they have a Hesychasterion. And I'll show you, but when I show you where it is, all you see is an outside tower over a door, and there's a 10-foot ladder here, and almost a 20-foot ladder up here, and here's this little cave with a grill closing off the open part of the cave. And there you can be alone. But to look at it, this is a line drawing of the monastery, and the 24 within the circle, that's a part of that Hesychasterion in that circle. But here's the monastery, and then here's where that Hesychasterion is, right in here, in that solid rock right there. We're looking west up into the hill country where Jerusalem is. And inside are the apartments and the tomb of St. Saba. And here are his relics.
So it's still functioning?
Absolutely.
What was the question?
Is it still functioning? Yes, it is. And men, you can visit. You're more acceptable if you have a beard. But ladies, there is a tower for you opposite where you can go, and there is a chapel.